This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hey, good morning, good morning. So for those of you who don't remember who I am, it's been a while since I've been on the show. It's Dr. Jeff. You're here live with Dr. Jeff. And here for the next 30 minutes here on Pet Life Radio and Instagram. It's, of course, talking about pets. So I've had a crazy, crazy January, as many of you know, because you have not seen me on the show except for that one Sunday at VMX. So first weekend you saw me, I was in Puerto Vallarta with the fam. And then back Sunday, we're in Louisville, Kentucky, to doing what's called the Bourbon Trail, which is really cool with a bunch of friends. And then it was VMX, which I was here. And then the next 2 weeks, the Colorado Vet Med Association called SCICE. It was great. Steamboat Springs, Colorado. The only thing missing was a lot of snow, which is so unusual. This time of year, Utah and Colorado get amazing snow, and it was fair. Fortunately, the Friday and Saturday before the conference started on Sunday, I had 2 days of snow. So it was actually pretty good. And then last week, I was gone again in Cabo for our AirVet, my telemedicine platform. I run with my son, Brandon. We had what's called an offsite with the board. And it was like a big board meeting. It was really, really fantastic. And that was kind of a lot of fun as well. So that's to catch you up. So I hope that many of you haven't forgotten about me. The word went out to I guess what I have to do also, when I know I'm not going to be there, is we're going to talk a little bit more beforehand so you know that I am or I'm not coming on. So anyway, of course, we want to hear any questions you have, anything you want to talk about. One thing that I wanted to talk about, and I'm just waving to as many of you as I can. One thing I wanted to talk about. So at the Westminster Dog Show, the winner, a beautiful, beautiful Doberman Pinscher named Penny, and a couple of things that I know I'm going to start hearing about or there are going to be comments about. We ran this story about Simone Biles way back a couple of weeks ago, who was a Doberman Pinscher that was already born. It wasn't, you know, her doing, and the ears were already cropped. It's amazing how much bad stuff was coming out about her getting a dog. She didn't do it. They were cropped already. Now, on this dog show, which is front stage, right? This is the Westminster Dog Show. This is one of the top, if not the top dog show in the country, maybe in the world. And guess what? The winner, a beautiful, magnificent Doberman Pinscher, and ears were cropped. So I'm only waiting to hear what kind of stuff is said about this poor dog who, I mean, the dog is a dog. Magnificent, of course. And so two things that I'm worried about. Number one, yes, the ears were cropped, and I think we're going to start hearing a lot of negativity about that. And unfortunately, there's not a lot you can do about it. Look, they're great dogs, and I have an experience, a personal experience with the Doberman. And many of you know the story. I was 5 years old, living in New York. I don't know what I did. I did something wrong, obviously, because, you know, let sleeping dogs lie. Well, guess what? I didn't. We think I must have stepped on him out of his sleep, jumped up, and basically wanted to rip my face off. He succeeded a lot of it. And fortunately, a very, very good plastic surgery later, I'm here. And not only that, became a veterinarian. In fact, it was the dog's behavior after the bite that really, I guess, had an impact on me because he really seemed to feel sorry for what he did. And it wasn't like his nature. It was a reflex. And I happened to be a little kid or five. If I had been a much bigger adult, he would have got me on the thigh. So anyway, it is what it is. It didn't change my life at all. In fact, anyway, I'm not complaining. I've got it pretty darn good. But here's what I worry about. And we've seen this with any Westminster dog show. We've seen it with Frenchies. We've seen it with Dalmatians. And that is when, for whatever reason, a dog becomes very, very popular. It seems like now everybody wants to get one. And because it won the show, yes, it's a beautiful dog and well-trained, clearly. Does that mean every Doberman is going to be the same? And the answer is no. Every time Disney shows either a remake or a repeat of 101 Dalmatians, and to see that movie, oh my God, of course you're going to fall in love with Dalmatians. They are so adorable. As puppies, almost every single dog is adorable. So now you're going to run out and you're going to get Dalmatians. And the problem is they are really tough dogs. They're not an easy dog, certainly not an easy family dog. Some people have them, love them. And of course, But that's a small percent. If you look, it's not one of the most popular dogs around. I see them once in a blue moon. Am I going to see them? So Teague, Denise, thank you so much. And that's exactly my point. I have Dobie clients that are fantastic. Dobie patients, I should say. Now, let me just put this into perspective. One of my Doberman patients was extremely aggressive, literally to the point of attacking the hand that fed him. And they had been to many trainers. Something was going on with this dog. And it is again, undefined. We don't know exactly what it was. Obviously something neurologic. And this dog literally went berserk, not only to bite, it did plenty of that, but to chase a family member down a hallway and running after him and attacking him from behind while he's trying to run away. That is not normal, period, for a dog. Now, I've dealt with many aggressive dogs over the years. I've seen Chow Chows and the Rottweilers. Usually, on a very aggressive dog, that is normal type of aggression, is, buddy, you leave me alone. You get near me, I'm going to bite. I can handle those all day long. But when you walk into an exam room and the dog is sitting in the corner and runs away from the owner and tries to leap on you and attack you, that's not a normal behavior. So this is what basically we saw with this Doberman. Ultimately, we had to put this dog to sleep. And this is not just from the owners. This is from several trainers tried to work with this dog. And I just did it again with a rescue Malinois, Belgian Malinois. Great dogs also, usually very trainable, beautiful dogs. And this one was something's wrong. Anyway, the family with the Dobie got another Dobie. The Dobie is phenomenal. It is the greatest dog. So again, as a comment here, they're not for everyone. If you are looking into a breed, you need to do your homework. You need to talk to other people who have them. You need to talk to veterinarians. What about this? What do I need to worry about? Is it a good dog with kids? Our Doberman was really a great dog, beautifully trained. He was actually on the show circuit. He was an 11-month-old, non-neutered male, right there. Bing, 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 bing. This could be a problem with a household with four little kids. And ultimately, the dog went down the block. Neighbors down the block from where we lived had the sister of this dog, and happily ever after, it was an older couple, no kids in the house. And apparently, as far as we know, the dog did well. We haven't heard any bad things about it. I hadn't heard this. This is 67, oh my God, 55, 65 years ago. That's a long time. But anyway, so my point is, do your homework. Don't fall in love with a dog because you see a great one on television. You see a great one winning a competition. You see these trials where these dogs are so amazingly well-trained and doing things that you would only wish your dog can do. Oh my God, I'm going to get one. No. It's not that easy. It's not that easy at all. Get a dog? Absolutely. There should be no family. Every kid should grow up with dogs. Or they end up being afraid of dogs, which is I see all too often. But you really need to know the dog, know the breed, know the implications of having one, know the ramifications if things go bad, know about the training, know about the... I mean, there's so much behavior you need to know before you choose a dog. And when you do, hopefully it's the right one. We've been very lucky. My dogs haven't always been great. Most of the time, I don't want to scare you away from getting a... Get a dog! Most of the time, you're going to see great. If you walked in a shelter and you see these terrible things online, where these cameras of people are going down the long row of dogs in cages that are jumping up on the cages and crying and all they want is love, that's what you should do. You get one of those dogs. And again, the other side of that coin is, you're someone that asks, and I ask at the time, I see some of the most amazing dogs coming out of shelters, rescue groups, and I'm saying, who would possibly have given this dog away? Why? I can't imagine giving this dog away. It's fantastic. And yet people do. So you hit the nerve with me, as you could tell. So yes, I want to promote, obviously, dog parenting. Every family should have one. Fortunately, 75% of U.S. households already own pets, which is really great for me. But there are more households in America with pets than there are with kids. So that tells you something. Did I choose the right profession? Oh, 100%. 100%. Not to have to deal with all that crap that's going on in human medicine. Anyway, the veterinarians, I remember my grandmother being upset with me when I was trying to get into vet school. Very hard. Living in California, Davis was my only option back then. If you were coming from a state that had its own vet school, there were only 24 vet schools in the country at the time, so no other vet school would take a resident of a state that had his own vet school. It was classic difficulty. Anyway, my grandmother would say, Jeffrey, you're working so hard to work on animals. You should become a real doctor. Meanwhile, my real doctor friends are miserable and I'm having a blast. So yes, get pets, but don't be intrigued and swayed by what you see on TV. These amazing dogs, yes, they are great. So anyway, another thing I wanted to talk about, and oh, by the way, any questions or comments, please ask away. Yes, Super Bowl Sunday. Yes, I am looking forward to it. I have my plans. It'll be great. I always go to a big Super Bowl party, having a blast, lots of food, lots of friends, lots of family, maybe a few drinks as well, a little beer here and there. That's okay. So another thing I wanted to talk about, and we'll do this after the quick break, and that is don't judge a book by its cover. We say this all the time, and I want to bring that up because of cases, recent cases that I've had, where to look at a dog's problem and knowing that this is usually a major problem, then, oh, that's a great thing, Shannon, we'll talk about. Break down what to do when a dog is having a seizure. Great question. We'll talk about this right out of the break. But also, don't let your veterinarian talk you out of doing some even minor testing when they're not sure about what it is. It looks just like a tumor. It feels like a tumor. It's probably a tumor. Bad prognosis. Let's put it to sleep. Or let's, you know, no, get an answer. Because I've had tumors recently, a few of them, that looked disgusting, right? And I thought for sure were malignant tumors. And they turned out not to be after doing some testing. And then the other side of the coin is a little mass that feels totally normal. Feels just like a lipoma. You tell mom, don't worry, it's a lipoma. Next time we're under anesthesia, we'll go ahead, we'll take it off, and it turns out to be a tumor. So it goes both ways. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these short messages from our sponsors here at Pet Life Radio.
Real people, real stories.
Our little dog developed this lymph problem, but the chemotherapy lasted for 6 months, started developing more lymph nodes. So I thought I'd just try carnivore. The lymph nodes started to go down. Then I took him into the vet to have him checked out, and there was no signs at all inside.
My cat had issues that developed in his eye, and 3 months later, my veterinarian said, let's go ahead and remove the eye. I heard the carnivore on advertising. So I said, you know what? I'm going to order this product. They did the procedure. They did all the tests, and they said, I don't know what you did. This product saved his eye.
I've got a Labrador. He could hardly lift herself up off the floor. The treatment was chemotherapy. That's when I said, this could be the ticket. About 3 weeks, you could tell she was very alert. She was going on 5 mile walk. She is just like prime again.
Call 866-836-8735. That's 866-836-8735. Or visit carnivore.com. That's carnivora.com.
Use promo code PETLIFE at checkout for 15% off your order at carnivora.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
So we're back here at Pet Life Radio. We're just talking about vaccines. A great question came up about vaccines, Leptospira vaccines, leptospirosis. And, you know, normally it was not core for me unless the dog did a lot of hiking, canyons, going to the dog parks, et cetera, where there are open spaces near canyons like in Mulholland. And I would say if you don't do that, you're probably okay. But we've been seeing a lot because of our lifestyles, and we are basically impeding upon their natural habitats. We're seeing coyotes. We're seeing lots of skunks. We're seeing raccoons. We're seeing squirrels. So we are seeing these animals, these rodents, these rats that probably can be, right, secreting through feces or urine, this leptobacterium. So it's not a virus, it's a bacteria. So I think because of that, to be safe, it probably would be a good idea to get lepto vaccines as well. The one thing I warn you of all the vaccines, it's the one that we see the most reactions to, but it's minor. So it's not like a deadly reaction. It's just under the weather for a day or two, maybe touching the spot where the vaccine went. I do lepto left. I do it on the left side in the hind end. So you know that it was probably that vaccine, but it's probably worth getting the vaccine. The other question that came in was, I want to go back to it. It was about, this is from Shannon. Can you break down what to do when a dog is having a seizure? So, well, first of all, let's talk about seizures. There are many reasons for seizing. Is obviously, it's brain-related neurological disease condition. And it happens to be from because of infection, because of an itis, an inflammation. And so encephalitis is a possibility, right? So, or something that's not a real problem, but it causes seizure, and that's epilepsy. So how you differentiate, it's a real challenge sometimes. If I have a young to middle-aged dog comes in 100% perfect and all of a sudden has a seizure, what do I do? Well, first of all, when you're having a dog is having a seizure, let it be. They're not going to swallow their tongue. Don't worry about it. Don't go near their mouths. They will bite you. They won't know it, but it's a reaction. Make sure just clear the area away. Let them have the seizure. And then after the seizure, they're going to have what's called a post-ictal phase, where they're going to be out. They exert a lot of energy during that seizure. So they're going to be like out of it for a little bit. And then a lot of dogs with epileptic seizures, for example, have the equivalent of what we would call an aftershock, right? Post-ictal seizures. And that is, they're little mini seizures that can go on for a day or two immediately after a major seizure. So that's kind of normal. Don't panic. Now, if after that seizure, the dog is 100% back to normal and it's a young dog, here are your options. Now, some people, some veterinarians would recommend at least a blood test to rule out anything that the dog may have gotten into that would have a neurologic effect on this dog or cat for that matter. I have a case I'm working on now. This cat was bathed and it goes nuts, bathed with a over-the-counter flea shampoo. And this cat literally came in seizing, very depressed, not eating, weight loss. I mean, very, very, very sick. And the prognosis is very guarded. We're working on it, but it's very guarded. It's a problem. Extremely dehydrated. We're rehydrating the cat, treating it. We're waiting for the blood test to come back. It's a problem. Now, I'm expecting some liver enzyme elevations, and we're treating. I actually recommended they go for 24-hour treatment. They just can't afford it. So we're doing the best we can working with them. We gave them a full day of IV fluids. Over the weekend, we're doing sub-Q fluids on medication. And we're just hoping, I haven't heard anything bad from them. So I'm hoping it's okay. And they'll come back in tomorrow for more IV. So it's a problem. Now, what happens if you have an older dog that seizes? Now, one of the differentiating factors that often is the case is if the dog is having a seizure, and even when not seizing, something is off, neurologically off. Now, I'm thinking of something more serious. And this is where you have to get into some diagnostics. And unfortunately, you're looking at brain lesions, brain tumors, brain infection, inflammation, et cetera. Sometimes the only way to get an answer is going to be through more advanced testing. Of course, the best gold standard MRI, CT might show some things. A myelogram might show some things. That's where you take some fluid out, you do cytology, and you put a dye in to the spinal canal and see if there's anything going on. Hydrocephalus in certain breeds, that's in very young dogs. For example, you see that in the applehead, chihuahuas can have hydrocephalus. So that's fluid in the brain. There are so many other possibilities. So you treat the seizure. Now, I don't treat epileptic seizures right away. I don't. I wait. And if the dog seizes again over 4 months later, and then again over 4 months, I may not treat him at all. Because the problem is that dogs, even with treatment, that need treatment, they're still going to seize 3-4 times a year, even with treatment. So if I have a dog that's only seizing 3 or 4 times a year and it's totally normal otherwise, and the bloods are normal, everything is normal, then I may decide, go talk to the owners. I'm not going to push treatment out. If the dog is seizing more frequently than that, then yes, we'll start them on things like phenobarbital, some Keppra, gabapentin. There are a lot of anti-seizure medications. Some need more, some need less. So we kind of tiptoe around it. We test out the doses and see what happens. So they are treatable, but depends on the nature of the seizure. The cause of the seizure will really determine long-term prognosis. And you understand, if a dog is seizing and is not normal even after seizing, but it has something neurologically wrong, you need to take the advanced testing to get an answer. I will tell you one thing. If it's a much older dog that all of a sudden starts to seize, okay, and I'm talking dogs 13, 14, 15, and is acting off even when not seizing, there's a very strong likelihood you're dealing with something bad. And I will go over this with the client. You know, you're going to spend several $1,000s on the MRI. And even if you get an answer, what are you going to do about it? You do brain surgery, right? If you have severe brain lesions, I mean, so you got to take that in mind. And my feeling is, and this is, I'm very practical doctor, I'm not academic, that if the result of a test is not going to change your approach to how you're going to handle the case, then unless you have this academic need, a need to know, but you're okay with this dog being a very old dog, and you're not going to do anything drastic, then you know what? Let's treat symptomatically, keep the dog comfortable, and when it's time, it's time. Some people want to get answers. If you want to get the answers, do the fancy test. That's, I'm not going to ever talk you out of it, but just know, even if you know the answer, you still may not be able to do anything about it. So you're back to square one, except just treat what you can. Anyway, my parents' home was broken into, was hit over the head. From that point, had seizures. Bless my parents, had patience and love. Yes. And so that is something, that clobber on the head obviously did something in there. And now those seizures often will resolve with overtime. You know, we don't know if it hit the seizure. Basically, when dogs have epileptic seizures, they're totally normal when they're not seizing. They come maybe anywhere from weeks to months to many months apart. And those, you work with your veterinarian, what you want to treat with, what works, what doesn't. Sometimes I use a combination of drugs. My guru, my neurology guru, who I learned from when I was in vet school, you know, 40 plus years ago, he's still my go-to guy. He's a board certified veterinary neurologist. And his favorite is still good old-fashioned phenobarbital. I know a lot of the younger doctors now, neurologists, like Keppra. I've had many cases where I'll do both. The pheno alone, you get too much pheno. Sometimes it knocks them out on the behinds. So you want to add some Keppra. And what my friend Rick told me, Dr. LeCouter, is that dogs that have to have a high dose of phenobarb and get zonked, they ultimately will sort of rebound and their bodies will adapt to that high dose and it won't have that sleepy effect on them anymore anyway. So that's good to know. People are mad at me because I'm not going to be, first of all, as you know, you can always get a hold of me here on Pet Life Radio, Dr. Jeff at PetLifeRadio.com, at Dr. Jeff at DrJeff.com, at Jeff at AirVet.com. There's so many ways to get a hold of me, so there's no excuse. And probably most of you have my cell phone number anyway. But next week, I leave again Sunday morning, so I'll be on a plane to WVC, Western Veterinary Conference. This is the nation's, second largest. They always argue they compete with VMX, where I was in Orlando last month. And, you know, they're both pretty big conferences. So I'll be there. Then I'll be pretty much available for most of March, April. I'll be back to my normal Sundays. I can't promise that every single Sunday, but I'm probably will be here. So you don't have to wait. So next Sunday, unfortunately, I'll be on an airplane where my show would normally be, landing in Vegas for the Western Veterinary Conference. Other than that, I'll be pretty much back to my normal schedule. I know January was really crazy, really tough, and I do apologize, but do know you can always reach me. Let's see. Everyone, I hope you have a good Super Bowl. Any other questions about breeds, please let me know, because every time I see fatted breeds, and now I'm worried about the Dobie, and Shannon is too, and I think, Denise Teague also. It's one of those issues that we just have to be really, really careful about. And I will also say that I saw this in Frenchies, definitely Dalmatians. Oh my God, there's always that influx of Dalmatians after 101 Dalmatians. It's illogical, but that's what it is. And Frenchies, look what's going on with the French Bulldog. I mean, I had my first Frenchie 15 and almost 20 years ago, and he was phenomenal. And my second one, current Dwight, except for his typical obnoxious Frenchie behavior when it comes to rote squirrels and skunks. I mean, he'll walk by a house where 6 months ago he saw a squirrel, and every time we walk by the house, he's looking around. I know there's a squirrel here. And he watches, he'll hit the trees where they run up the trees. I mean, he's impossible. He's impossible with other dogs. But here in the house, he's amazing. He's well-trained. He's behaved. Everything is good. But I see, obviously, you know, I do a lot of French Bulldogs. I see a lot of problems in the Frenchies, whether it's breathing, whether it's behavior, whether it's skin. They have, I mean, a lot of issues. It's not just the breathing, their hiatal hernias, their vomiting, their GI signs. Oh my God, where to start? I mean, the newest veterinarian's life. What we used to say about Sharpays, right, is now we're saying about Frenchies. We love them because there's so many problems with them. So I think that you really need to do your homework. Don't get a dog because it's just a fad. If you really like the breed, then do your homework. Look for legitimate sources. Go visit shelters. Go to rescues. There are so many great dogs at breed rescues before starting to do a breeding dog, because these breeders are unscrupulous. These breeders are just breeding for the sake of breeding. They're not legit. They're not necessarily using AKC. They see dollar signs, and all they care about is, let me get these dogs out as fast as I can. They're breeding these females one heat after another. They're not letting them break in between. They're not really good, legitimate breeders. And then because of that, the dogs coming out are not necessarily really good examples of what that breed should be and could be. So just word of caution, take it slow, do your homework, do the right thing, and I think you can end up with a really great dog. Dobies are great dogs. When I see them now, I'm seeing beautiful Dobies, but I will tell you, most of the Dobies I'm seeing now have cute little floppy ears and a nice long tail. So you just have to know that nowadays, in fact, just so you know, that in Europe, most countries in Europe, they do not allow ear cropping and tail docking. So sometimes we got to learn from our European friends. They're onto something. It's not necessary. There is no medical advantage ever proven about those. It's all about aesthetics. They want those dogs to look menacing. They want those erect ears. They're always on high alert. It just looks more aggressive. The tail, you can't tell it's happy because you don't want it to look happy. You want it to look like it's working. So you dock the tail. So these are things that I know it's being extremely, extremely trite, but I think that I want you to be really, really make responsible decisions when you're getting a new dog. If you have any questions anytime about a breed, about a dog, be happy to reach out to me. I'd be happy to talk to you. Have a great week, everybody. We most likely will not be on next week unless I land. I don't remember when I'm landing, but I have to get from the airport to the hotel. The show starts literally Sunday morning, so I'm probably going to go straight to the show floor. But anyway, it was a great talking to you. Thank you so much for your patience and accepting me back. And after next week, I'm going to be on back to my Sunday morning schedule. January was just a fluke because I had just too many things and they were all Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Everyone thought I had a new work schedule. No, it's not. I'm still 5 days at work and except for next Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. And then I'll be back to normal. So thanks for joining me. If you have any questions, anytime, get a hold of me and have a wonderful week, everybody. And good luck today to whichever team between the Seahawks, all right, and the Patriots you like. Hope they win. This game I was hoping the Rams would be there and they kind of blew it in my opinion. But so it'll be the Seattle Seahawks, New England Patriots. Any way you look at it, I'm sure it's going to be a great game. Have fun.
Let's Talk Pets every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.